Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get to our 7-7 top headlines. So the NFL draft starts tomorrow, and there's already rumors that the Patriots and Panthers are talking about a draft day trade. Reports saying the groundwork is already done, and the Patriots possibly trading up for that number 8 pick. Now, if the Panthers do not want to draft a quarterback in this year's loaded class, it makes sense to trade them with the Patriots, Kev.
Yeah, absolutely massive news if that is what New England decides to do. Draft a quarterback, Fields and the Patriots is a massive storyline if it does come to fruition. You see that Justin Fields over under 7.5 draft position, though. Perhaps getting to 8 wouldn't be enough for New England. Maybe the Lions at 7 hold all the cards when it comes to trading up for a quarterback, especially Justin Fields.
Yeah, and tomorrow morning, just want to mention, our show will be locked and loaded with NFL draft odds. Now, also, running back rumors are starting to heat up as well. Bama's Najee Harris, Clemson's Travis Etienne, and UNC's Devontae Williams are considered to be the team's top three selections. But as we know, on draft day, anything can happen.
I just think it's so interesting, though, that we are now hearing rumors around three running backs going in round number one. And they don't seem to be eating into one another. Like, perhaps Harris comes off the board in the top 20. Etienne maybe won't be far behind him, maybe 24. We know the Steelers are really interested in the running back position. And then maybe a team like the Buffalo Bills makes Williams a first rounder. I'm not saying that three of them are going to come off of the board, but at this point, I would be surprised if at least two of these top three running backs don't hear their name called on Thursday.
Yep, and Kevin and I will keep you up to date on all of the rumors, of course, before, again, the draft starting tomorrow. Let's switch it over to the NBA. Mavericks absolutely dominate the Warriors, 133-103. Mavs going a 28-0 run, cover and the over hits. Luka Doncic, 39 points, statement win for the Mavs, who were on a back-to-back.
Yeah, really, really nice win for Dallas. We talked yesterday, we thought Golden State might be the side. The odds moved in that favor. But that's, again, all we can really do. The Warriors didn't show up for this game. They got blown off the court, lost the first quarter by 24, and it proceeded to only get worse, losing that game, as you said, by 30. It was encouraging, though, because I was worried about Doncic's health. 39 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, a tremendous game for the Mavs superstar.
Yeah, he crushed it. Now, also tonight, we have a big showdown between the Suns and Clippers at the Staples Center. Kawhi Leonard is currently doubtful to play in this game, as the two teams are going to have to contend for that number 2 seed spot in the Western Conference standings. So this game is important, Kev, in terms of that.
Absolutely, and that's the big thing, too, because Aaron and I have talked a lot about now these division winner odds, and this could play a big role in the odds to win the Pacific Division. The Phoenix Suns are right now minus 200 favorites, the Clippers at plus 140. I think a win for the Clippers would see that drastically push those odds tighter. A win for the Suns, they might go above minus 300. We saw a big move when the Sixers and the Nets had that head-to-head showdown. Suns-Clippers will likely provide the same.
And Kevin and I will continue to break down that game a little bit later in the show. Also, just want to mention, in Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays, Vladdy Jr. blasts 3 home runs against the Nationals. At the age of 22, he's become the youngest player to hit 3 home runs and log 7 RBI in one game, setting an MLB record. And quickly, just want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to the Early Line on SportsGrid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines, with our number five being Blue Jays' Vladdy Jr. blasting three home runs against the Nationals.
And it's now seen him climb up to third in American League MVP odds at 12-1. What we're starting to realize, I think, when it comes to the MVP board in Major League Baseball is it does not take a lot to rocket you up the odds, because big games, people get excited, click, click, click. Now it's the first month, though. There's 162 games here. I wonder at what point do things start to settle? Can we narrow down the field? Because I don't know if anybody is really eliminated from MVP contention, at least the bigger names. But we've seen the Buxtons rocket up, right? And Vladdy Guerrero is the next one to do so. But it's cool to see Vladdy dominating like his dad did.
Yeah, great night for him. Also in Major League Baseball, Corey Kluber got his first win in 2 years and first win in a Yankees uniform, of course, taking the mound. Kluber had 5 strikeouts, 6 hits, and a little over 6 innings pitched. New York hit 3 home runs in a 5-1 win over the Orioles.
Yeah, now Kluber's performance is not going to rocket him up Cy Young boards, but it was a good performance, only giving up the 1 earned run, almost going a full 7 innings, which is really important there for Kluber to not have to tax the bullpen every time out. And for the Yankees, they needed to get a result there against Baltimore. More work to be done, but it all started with a win yesterday, and they were able to put that on the board there with Kluber on the mound.
Yeah, we're going to recap and preview some Major League Baseball in this hour, so make sure you stick with us. Our last headline, Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul. This has officially been announced for Sunday, June 6th at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. No odds yet, just on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Going to be interesting where they handicap this game. But honestly, I was a little surprised by seeing the tweets and this being broke yesterday.
Yeah, I can't believe it's a real thing, but Floyd is the ultimate bag chaser, so there you go.
Floyd Logan Paul,
the Pauls, though, securing bags left and right. They're also kind of the only people that are making boxing relevant. You can laugh at this. It's going to be heavily watched and heavily bet on.
Yes, it will. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break to talk about the NBA. Stick with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. We want to get into some NBA preview. We'll start off with the Bucks versus the Knicks. Knicks laying 5 at home. Now, the Suns did just beat the Knicks, ending their 9-game win streak and 12-game cover streak. The Bulls, meanwhile, coming off a win over Miami. But let's talk about some of the numbers. The Bulls, 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 road games, despite being one of the best teams when playing away against the spread. But, of course, without Zach LaVine, it's hard to back them. So do you have confidence that the Knicks could cover this number, Kev?
So what's interesting is, for the first time, I don't know about the first time, but it feels like during this run, doesn't this feel like the Knicks are the obvious play in this spot? Mm-hmm. I know the Bulls competed with Miami and then ultimately beat the Heat. I know they put together a nice win against Charlotte. But overall, the Bulls don't feel like that scary of a team, especially without Zach LaVine going in to play the Knicks, as defensive-minded as they can be, as good against the number as the Knicks are. The Knicks laying 5, 5.5, I know it maybe could get up to, but I feel like the Knicks are the for-sure play. Maybe they're going to go on the wrong side of a tilt, but I feel like this team will be so hungry, so motivated off of the loss to the Phoenix Suns. The only thing that's almost giving me pause is having confidence in the Knicks. And I know, look, there's been spots where we like the Knicks for sure, but there's something about this where it's like, are the Knicks a team where they drop a game and we go, okay, you know what? We come back with even more confidence the next go around? Maybe so, but I think the Knicks laying the 5 here is a good enough number for me.
Yeah, the Knicks, just want to mention, 18-7-1 against the spread in their last 26 home games. They've won 9 of their past 10 games, and they're winning their last 5 games by an average of 8.2 points. Of course, just dropping that last one. But since we're talking about the Knicks, we have to mention their standings. Right now, in terms of the Eastern Conference standings, they're in that number 4 spot, tied right now with the Hawks. Now, the Hawks are going to play the 76ers tonight. 76ers already laying 8 points. Of course, they don't have Trae Young back just yet. But I did want to mention quickly that Embiid has missed 19 games this season and is currently dealing with that sore right shoulder. You saw him kind of pulling at that in the last game. So seeding is really important for both of these teams, probably more so for the Hawks. So which way would you play this game, Kev?
That's interesting. I think seeding's important for both of them. I still think Philly should want that one seed. I think the Sixers plus the big three is a play on. I think, man, they looked, I know it's the Thunder, but they looked like they wanted to dominate that team. I don't think that they're going to beat Oklahoma City and be like, oh, okay, fine, we're good here, let's go back to doing nothing. Because this is a team in Philadelphia that you felt like you could trust on a nightly basis. And I think that the 8 points here is still a number that they can cover. They are 8 points better than the Atlanta Hawks if the Hawks don't have Trae Young. They just are. So I think also, I like the idea that the Sixers saw Brooklyn win. And they know that they still have to put results up on the board to catch them. I think the Sixers absolutely have the ability here to jump over the Hawks. But that's the thing with the Sixers. I like the idea because they do this a lot, I feel like, Aaron. They come out and you can tell right away, Sixers first quarter, Sixers first half is what I would be interested in. Maybe remove myself from the second half because sometimes Philly will just kind of, whatever, all right, we win the game by 7, but the result was never in doubt. I think the first quarter and the first half for the Sixers is an interesting way to look at it.
And I wanted to talk about some betting numbers. So the Hawks, 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 games, playing on one day's rest, 11-4 against the spread in their last 15 games overall. Then when you read the 76ers, 1-5-1 against the spread in their last 7 home games and games overall. So what I wanted to mention about these numbers is obviously when you're reading against the spread trends, they're not factoring in, let's say, Embiid was out for this many games, Simmons was out for this many games. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you know that players are coming off an injury or a team has been riddled by injury, even COVID impacts, sometimes you don't want to read too much into the trends. For example, I know the total in the FanDuel Sportsbook right now is 220. Now, the under is 5-1 in the Hawks' last 6 games, playing on one-day rest. The under is also 9-3 in the 76ers' last 12 games overall. But we have to take into account for those games, they didn't have Trae Young for some of them. We didn't have Embiid for the 76ers. So I just think overall, when you're looking and reading articles and trying to gather your research for certain games, it makes sense to really look at the health and availability of some players.
You're so right. I'll tell you, so a while back, maybe about a month or so ago, I started to kind of put together a chart of the Sixers, the Nets, and the Bucks and how they performed against above 500 teams when they were fully healthy. But what you started to realize is, yeah, there was a team that beat the Sixers, but they beat the Sixers without everybody. There was, yeah, a team beat the Nets, but the Nets didn't have anybody. So what you're saying there is really, really important stuff. Just because, you know, one team perhaps has covered 7 in a row, whatever it might be, but well, who's been available? Who's in? Who's out? Who do they actually beat? That's why we talked about with the Hawks, you know, that game that they blew against the New York Knicks, right? A part of that Knicks big winning streak. Well, it was easy to see what went wrong. Trae Young, who was a plus 13 for the game, got hurt in the third quarter, and it allowed the Knicks to get back into that game and ultimately win it in overtime. So the, you know, ins and outs, the specifics, when you dive in a little bit deeper, really can be the difference.
For sure. Now, another game on the board that I kind of think I'm already going to take the dog on potentially is the Lakers laying 3 against the Wizards. Wizards coming off that overtime loss to the Spurs. Bradley Beal, 45 points. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double. The Lakers also coming off their first win with AD back in. They beat the Magic there. Dennis Schroeder really picking up the slack. He had a third straight triple-double when playing against the Magic. So maybe take a look at his player prop for tonight. But Kev, just out of curiosity, do you think the Lakers getting 3 on the road is too many points for them?
So I look at this spot right now, and this is where the Lakers have been since, again, the LeBron injury. And they're supposed to win. They have won. They're favorites here in Washington. They're supposed to win. And we saw against Orlando that slow start. Well, not even they were good in the first quarter, but they were trailing by the end of the half. So there's certainly a world where I could see the Wizards with a lead. You grab the Lakers, you know, plus 125 money line all of a sudden because they're trailing. It wouldn't shock me in the slightest. But if we're going to continue to follow along with what we have seen from the LA Lakers since the LeBron injury, when they're supposed to win, they win. And by the way, I think only once during this run have they won and not covered with a low number like a three. If the Lakers are going to win, you feel good about the cover. I think the Wizards off of that loss will be very hungry, very motivated to take this LA team to task. They actually own a win over the Lakers at the Staples Center in overtime, which is a really good win that Washington has under their belt. But I lean towards the Lakers just based on what I've seen from this team. Plus, I do think Anthony Davis is getting back a lot healthier, and I think that's only going to get better. He should really beat up on this Washington team.
Interesting, because I honestly was going to play it the opposite way and say, since the Wizards 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 games, playing on one day's rest, 9-7 against the spread in the last nine games overall. But of course, when you see that number around three, a lot of people always think that's kind of going to be a trap game potentially, because when you have that plus two, or let's say minus one, for example, when you have those 1 or 2 points, you think you might as well just bet them on the money line. But with that three, a lot of people will still go after that. But we'll definitely see what happens tomorrow morning. Just also want to quickly talk about the total, 233.5. The over is 8-3 in the Lakers' last 11 overall. The under, 6-2 in the Wizards' last 8 home games. Which trend would you go towards in terms of this total?
So it's really one of those things right now where you look at the Wizards, and if you catch a good Wizards game, I mean, you're just not even sweating it at all. I mean, the game will just absolutely soar right through the number. The Lakers, it's a little more difficult to tell, right? Especially without LeBron. Sometimes you worry about trusting their offense. But I do feel like the Lakers often run if their opponent will allow them. 223.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. I can see this being a high-paced Wizards game and one where the Lakers are excited to get up and down the court. I could see the over being a nice look.
And looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, a lot of totals are posted, which we don't usually see here on the early line. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Kevin and I are going to continue with our NBA preview. Now, big showdown today in the Western Conference. We have the Clippers versus the Suns. Suns right now laying 3.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Do want to mention that Kawhi Leonard is doubtful to play in this game. Clippers coming off a loss to the Pelicans. Kawhi was not in that game. Just want to note that. And the Suns just most recently beat the Knicks. Now, the total right now is at 222.5. Now, what's interesting is I constantly feel like when the Suns play good teams, let's say, they usually hit the under. They're not able to put up as many points, but recently they did cash two over. So, Kev, which way would you play this game?
So, to your point there, I do get that vibe often with Suns games. Two meetings already between these clubs, both of them under that 220, 2.5 number that you're referencing. A 219 in the first meeting, and then a 216 in the second meeting. Also, two Clippers wins, two Clipper covers in those games. The first go-around, Kawhi and PG available. Paul George dropped 39 in Phoenix. The second game, no Paul George, no problem. In fact, it was a second-half real push from the Clippers to close the door there on the Suns. Kawhi dropped 27. Oh, no, excuse me. Paul George did play. I don't know what I'm saying there. I overlooked it. But PG actually had another big game, dropping the 33. So Paul George, two games against the Suns, 30-plus in both of those games. And I think that could give some people confidence in maybe trying to back the Clippers once again against the Phoenix Suns because, as you've mentioned, very unlikely we see Kawhi play, but Paul George has had a lot of success against this Phoenix team.
And come tomorrow morning, we'll be talking about that number two spot in the Western Conference standings, of course, with the Clippers and Suns being right there neck and neck. Obviously, with the Suns being able to get that win, it's going to push them a little bit ahead. But just overall, they've really been competing for this spot. It's starting to really heat up in the Western Conference. I mean, it's been competitive no matter what throughout the season. But now it's most important for teams to get those wins.
So there's so much at play when you really look at it, because the Suns are one game back of Utah. The Clippers are only two games back of the Jazz, three in the loss column. But, I mean, still, like, if the Suns are live at one game back, then the Clippers have to be live at two games back. But on the other end of that, the Clippers are only two games clear of the we will never lose Denver Nuggets, despite the Jamal Murray injury. So there's still so much to play for in these Western Conference standings. And we've talked about this a little bit even during 7-7, but the odds to win the division is really live right now. To win that Pacific, the Suns are minus 200, the Clippers are plus 140. I promise you, these odds will change based on the results from tonight's game. The Clippers already own the tiebreaker, but so it's not as if that's up for grabs tonight, but a clean sweep would really give the Clippers a ton of, I think, a mental edge over the Phoenix Suns if they were to meet in a potential 2-3 Western Conference game.
Yeah, that's going to be a great showdown tonight. Also on the board tonight, we have the Hornets playing the Celtics. Celtics laying 6.5 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Hornets, of course, on a back-to-back after playing the Bucks. They didn't cover in that game. But back when these two teams met on April 25th, Charlotte won 124-104. The Celtics are 1-8 against the spread in their last nine Wednesday games, and also 1-8 against the spread in their last nine games played on 0 days rest. The under for these teams, 19-7 in the Hornets' last 26 overall, under 11-5 in the Celtics' last 16 overall. Waiting for that total to be posted. Oh, actually, it just was posted on FanDuel Sportsbook, 218. Kev, oh, also, it also just jumped up for the Celtics, -7.5. Just jumped up a point there. Sorry, this literally just happened as I'm, refreshing the page here.
What was that Wednesday trend again? Can you give me that Wednesday trend one more time?
1-8 against the spread in their last nine Wednesday games. 1-8.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. What's that about? Are they too busy watching AEW Dynamite, perhaps? They're too excited. Mine not there. I don't blame them. Me too.
I'm surprised it just jumped up a point, though, because I already said in the break, I'm like, why are they getting that many points just based on how they've been playing? They just lost to the Thunder.
Yeah, they've lost three games in a row, including the Hornets obliterating them in Charlotte. Man, oh, man. Here's the thing. Tatum, I would think back healthy. Kemba, I would think back healthy. Kemba, no doubt about it, did not play against the Thunder so he could play against the Hornets. Jaylen Brown probably doesn't play. This is a game in which the Celtics should be highly, highly motivated here. The Hornets just took them to town, though, in Charlotte. Man, that number is difficult for me to wrap my head around, though. You know, the 7.5, the Wednesday trend, really unsettling for anybody that might want to back Boston. I love a good Wednesday trend. Maybe you just try to point towards the total. The last meeting of these teams went over. The Celts just played a high scoring one against the Thunder. We know that the Hornets at times can have those explosive outputs there, even if they've recently been a big time under team. Eight of their last 10 have cashed under, but wow, that is a Wednesday trends. I love that. Celtics are not odd.
Wednesday just is not. Yeah, they are odd. And it's always like, who's going to play? Which one of you? I mean, I'm not going to get into it because, you know, I already have them crossed off my list. We'll continue going down the board right now. Not a great, great game that you'll be interested in compared to some of the other showdown games. We have the Magic versus the Cavs. Cavs right now laying 3. Magic looking to snap a 6-game losing streak. Coach Steve Clifford still out. Now, the Cavs have lost 6 of their last 7 games, with their most recent loss being against the Raptors. They're going to open a 5-game homestand after a disastrous road trip. The Magic 0-5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games as an underdog. Also 0-5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games overall. 1-6 against the spread in the last 7 games. I mean, they're just terrible. All around terrible. I don't even know which way you want to play this game. Maybe you want to stay away from it. But right now, the total is also at 210.
So, man, it's really tough. Aaron takes him to task. I laugh at just the game. Well, the Magic have been playing these overs recently. 7 of their last 8 games cashing the over. A low 210 number. It's so low. Also, if you're going to make me watch Magic Cavs, I'm betting the over, and that's just that. Like, you're not getting me to do that. Anything else. Yeah, it's a huge slate. You love the idea of somebody being like, my favorite game on the board is Magic Cavs. This is where I find the edge, right? You love the idea that somebody brings that to the table. It's a game where it's a low number. Orlando's been cashing over tickets. Their defense has been really, really bad during this losing streak here. I think the over is a fine enough look.
All right, well, there you go. Have the over there. All right, another game on the board, Trailblazers versus the Grizzlies. Grizzlies were -2.5 last night, just moved to -2. Total right now at 235. Now, the Grizzlies were just obviously beaten pretty badly by the Nuggets, and the Trailblazers, 2-8 against the spread in the last 10 games against the team with a winning record. 0-4 against the spread in the last 4 games following a win. Which way would you want to play this game, Kev? I know both these teams can go out there and score.
Yeah, here's the thing, right? You never want it to be easy because then you get uncomfortable, but I mean, why would you not be laying the 2 with Memphis? They just beat Portland twice in Portland. Why would I not lay 2? I don't get it. They're home. They've been the better team. They're off of a loss themselves. Portland's off of a win, and they're on a back-to-back. Why would I not lay 2? Why would I not lay 2 here? Somebody give me a reason why Memphis -2 is not the pick. Somebody please talk me off of Memphis -2, because you don't like when it comes off easy. It comes off easy here in this spot. Aaron,
I hope people are
why would we not
right
lay
now.
2 at Memphis?
No, I mean, the Grizzlies 6-1 against the spread in the last 7 home games, 9-2 against the spread in the last 11 games against a team with a winning record. So, I mean, overall, the Grizzlies should win this game. It's funny to see them favored, though. Usually I feel like they're playing those top teams and always getting those double digits. Okay. But all around, you make a great point.
Here's the deal. If Memphis does not cover the 2, they have to end up on a different, like, tab of the list because they're not bad, right? They're actually a good team against the number, but clearly you and I, they're the best against the spread team in the NBA, 38-22. If they do not cover the 2, then you and I have to just completely remove ourselves from Memphis Grizzlies games for the foreseeable future. Because the Clippers thing was a total debacle.
I was already mad at them when they didn't cover against the Bucks.
Yeah, look, the Clippers thing was a debacle. We said it was going to happen against Denver, right?
Well, Clippers, like, that was really bad. Yeah. And we hyped that up too, which was even worse because we knew that was an 8-point swing. So we're like, oh my gosh, here we go. And then 15-point lead.
Not what we're looking for.
Squashed.
The Grizzly, I can't come up with a good reason here as to why you would be back in the Portland Trail Blazers. Here's the one thing I will say. The Blazers beat the Pacers so bad that they won't be as tired as a typical back-to-back because they didn't really have to do anything in the fourth quarter. I don't actually know if any of their starters even logged fourth quarter minutes. They were up by 30-plus going into that quarter. So that gives you a little bit of confidence on Portland. And you mentioned the total. One of the games absolutely flew over, and then the second meeting just missed the over-under there. So interesting stuff with the total as well.
Yes, it is. And just want to mention quickly on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Jazz -7.5 against the Kings with the total at 225. As for the Nuggets, they're laying 4 at home against the Pelicans right now, 228.5 for that total. Miami Heat -5 against the Spurs with a total low 209. All these odds, of course, posted on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, tomorrow, the Valspar Golf Championship tees off, so let's throw to Sports Grid's own Rick Gaiman to get a course preview.
The PGA Tour rolls on to the Valspar Championship. This event, normally part of the Florida Swing, but with the new scheduling configuration, it no longer is. But this event is a staple on the PGA Tour. It's one that we have seen at Innisbrook Resort for a long time, and particularly on the Copperhead course. And it's a very apt name for that course, considering it tends to bite back. That's right, this event and this course tend to be one of the more difficult tour stops that we have on the regular calendar. And a lot of that comes in the three-hole stretch, 16, 17, and 18, that have been dubbed the Snake Pit. That's right. That is the three-hole stretch to end on the Copperhead course that usually plays well over par and can be troublesome trying to trip up all of these players who are looking to hoist the trophy at the Valspar Championship. It has not tripped up the two-time defending champion, Paul Casey. He won this event the last time it was played in 2019, and he won it the year before in 2018. Winning an event a third time would add his name to a very short list of golfers, with the majority of them being named Tiger Woods to ever win the same event three consecutive years. It's a feat that has not been accomplished in over a decade. So Paul Casey looking for a little bit of history in his next trip around Copperhead. And this field is strong, especially with the great run of events that we have coming up. There's plenty of great names here, and it should be entertainment all week long at the Valspar Championship.
And Kev, that's some great insight from Rick Gaiman. It's funny to hear about those snake pit holes, but obviously, like you mentioned, Paul Casey, his second straight Valspar win in 2019, he's going to return to this tournament to try to defend his title. But a lot of golfers are on the board right now. Kev, do you have any lean in terms of this tournament?
So I want to really follow, though, what Rick was saying there. One, we always hear people use the phrase horses for courses. The ability to know a course, feel comfortable, right? And Paul Casey brings that in spades, winning three straight, though a very difficult task. But live betting is also something that is becoming very, very popular when it comes to golf. That is such an important thing to know, that 16, 17, and 18, dubbed the Snake Pit, can really mess up their scores. What that then means is, if you think somebody has it in the bag, oh, they just need to par out 16, 17, 18. Well, that's going to be a difficult thing to do. That also can impact your round one leaderboards, people that are possibly in the clubhouse. And that's the different thing. A lot of time I feel like when people are live betting golf, they're looking for guys that are still out there on the course. But if 16, 17, and 18 are where golfers are going to give strokes back, perhaps guys that are already in the clubhouse, their scores are finalized, maybe those are the kind of guys that you're going to want to back here at the Valspar Championship.
No, that's a great point. I know that when we bring on any golf guests, they always talk about live betting and how important that is. But why don't we ask Rick Gaiman about some of the golfers in this tournament, Patrick Reed being one of them, right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, 19-1 to win it all.
One of the first names that I saw when I was doing my research is Patrick Reed. He's 18-1 to win this week's Valspar Championship. And the thing with Patrick Reed is that when conditions get difficult, he really seems to step up his game. We saw him win at Torrey Pines earlier this year. That is a course that does not yield many birdies. A par is often a good score around Torrey Pines. And you're going to see similar things around the Copperhead course this week as well. When courses get difficult, there's usually a few reasons for that, but the main reason is that most golfers are not able to hit their green on the second shot. It means that either the rough is very thick, or fairways are narrow, or greens are small, or any combination of those things, and it turns into a short game contest. And if it turns into a short game contest, Patrick Reed has one of the best short games that we have on the PGA Tour. And he has won many events, many big-time events on the PGA Tour schedule. And while he has not won this event, he has finished runner-up twice and seventh over his last five starts. So when you put all of those things together, his ability around the greens, his actual winning upside and win equity, and the history that he has had at this event, I think it's a really good price on Patrick Reed, and I think he's a contender to win this week's Valspar Championship.
And Kev, that was some great insight from Rick. Patrick Reed again, 19-1 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. He's up there with Corey Connors, also at 19-1. DJ, 11-1. Justin Thomas, +900 to win it all.
I'll tell you where I instantly turn. We talked about Patrick Reed because, look, it's hard to win these tournaments. That's why the odds are so long. A top five finish for Reed, +410. Top 10 finish checks in at +190. Usually, though, for somebody with such good course history or somebody that someone like Rick Gaiman is going to trust, you're talking about big minus numbers for a top 20 finish. Minus 120 for Patrick Reed for a top 20 finish. If Rick likes him as much as he is suggesting, I think that is a great number for Patrick Reed to land inside the top 20 this week. Minus 120. I think I'm going to have to get a piece of that myself.
Yeah, and right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, you can bet on the outright winner, finish positions, round leader match betting, round matchups, make miss the cut, tournament props, group betting, and more. So make sure to head to the FanDuel Sportsbook in order to place your bets for the Valspar Championship. Of course, let's move over to MLB recap. I mean, the Reds take down the Dodgers once again, take game two, beating them 6-5 after winning 5-3 in extra innings on Monday. This team was able to rally for a second straight night, Kev, with Joey Votto hitting a go-ahead double and Jesse Winker homered and drove in two runs.
Dodgers stink. How about that? Breaking news, big development. Dodgers, not very good. Here's the interesting thing for a team that has now lost. I mean, this is so bizarre. They've lost seven of their last nine games. I mean, everybody was all in. This team is never going to lose again. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Some people got ahead of themselves here. They're the, you know, greatest team of all time. They're going to slaughter the, you know, single season wins record. Let's all breathe. I'm not saying that they're not great. They're obviously great. They're dealing with, you know, the injury to Bellinger. I get all of that. But, I mean, they have now lost 7 of 9. They're actually currently, right now, still tied with the Giants for first place in the West. They're only 2.5 up on the Padres, who are fourth in the NL West. So that dominant start, they've given a lot of that back to their other contenders in this NL West here. And I will tell you this before today's game that they're going to play and finish out this Red Series. Okay. Everyone is going to want a piece of the Dodgers. Minus 220. Moneyline parlays. Laying a run and a half. I don't care. I'll lay the juice. You just try and get ahead of these situations, right? Because I learned this tip from Dave Sharapin, who does a tremendous job here on the network, giving us the perspective of somebody who's been behind the table, making the line, setting the odds. And all guys like Dave ever needed was a losing streak for the Dodgers, because they're going to still win 100 baseball games. I don't doubt that, right? Mm-hmm. But all they ever needed was a losing streak where people said, all right, they lost, but there's no way they lose tomorrow. All right, they lost two in a row, but it certainly isn't going to get that bad. This is the game. There's no way the Dodgers get swept. There's no way that the LA Dodgers lose a fourth game in a row. There's no way that they lose a fourth straight game at home. Kershaw, old reliable. I'll lay the 220, no hesitation. I'm not telling you I don't think the Dodgers can win this game. It's ridiculous. They're the Dodgers. They're as big of favorites as they should be. But I am imploring people to be very careful with the there's no way they lose again, because you probably said it game one of the Red Series. You definitely said it yesterday going up against the Reds as well with Walker Buehler on the mound. So again, be really careful here. All the book needs is a little bit of a losing streak from the Dodgers, the same way they got it early season with the Yankees, and they're good for the year.
Yeah, and plus we've talked about this. It is still April and in baseball, so anything can happen. A lot of these teams, of course, that are already dealing with early injuries this season, like you mentioned, you think it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, and then it actually does happen, and you're very, very surprised by it. But yesterday, let's also talk about the Yankees versus the Orioles. Yankees 5 win last night. Corey Kluber gets his first career win with the Yankees. We talked about this as our top headline. 5 strikeouts, 6 hits, and a little over 6 innings pitched. Of course, these two teams are going to play each other again today. Do you think the Yankees could take another game from the Orioles?
Yeah, you certainly think that's available. I think, you know, it's funny enough, but I think today, Yankees-Dodgers parlays are going to be real popular. People love to fade Baltimore. And again, I think a lot of people are going to look to parlay the Dodgers to make that number a little bit easier on your wallet. No problem with that. I just think that that's very likely to happen. You take the two big clubs, the Yanks and the Dodgers, and you mash them together. I think there's a really, really good chance that that happens. But I wanted to let people know, too, with the Yankees is, and much to the chagrin of our producer, Brian, Aaron Judge probably isn't going to play. Judge, you know, maybe not as bad as Stanton, but similarly, often banged up. Looks like he's going to probably rest the remainder of this series against Baltimore, which what a huge thing it is then that he hit that home run yesterday. Because if you lost the first two games of the series expecting to have two more and then he doesn't play, that would be quite frustrating. So I do think the Yankees can get the job done. There's also a decent chance that they're trying to do so without Big 9-9.
Also want to mention yesterday, the Braves beat the Cubs 5-0. They've now won two straight games. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, these two are going to play each other again today. Braves minus 134 with the total at 8. Kev, first game, obviously, hitting that over. Second game, not so much, taking the under. So how would you play this total at 8?
So here's the thing. Kyle Hendricks on the mound tonight for the Chicago Cubs. Kyle Hendricks very recently just saw the Atlanta Braves. Kyle Hendricks was obliterated by the Atlanta Braves. He was dominated by that team. They hit not one, not two, not three, four first inning home runs off of Kyle Hendricks in a game at Wrigley Field. I know you can often say, oh, it was the wind. Look, they were all over him. They knocked him around silly. I think they're going to be really happy to see Kyle Hendricks once again. Braves team total, the over in the game. I'm not sure I trust Yona enough to the Cubs yesterday being shut out. I could see their offense coming to the table. I think the over is the favorite play for me here in this game.
And there's 13 MLB games on the board today. I know one that you'll probably be keeping your eye on is the Mets putting DeGrom out there.
Yes.
Right now they're favored minus 270 against the Boston Red Sox with a total at 7. Any other games you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, definitely. As you said, DeGrom Day, always important to watch there. Fascinated to see where they put this guy's strikeout prop. It's going to be a mammoth number, no doubt about it. A lot of fun stuff here, Major League Baseball. Always a packed slate.
Yep, and we'll be right back after the break. Make sure to stay with us here on The Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to do our favorite segment called Set the Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. So yesterday, since the Yankees are one of Kevin's favorite teams, I just want to, it came to mind that A-Rod and J-Lo were spotted back together at a dinner. So I wanted to set the line on those two getting back. As we know, they've recently broke up. Apparently, there were some trust issues, not surprising there. But A-Rod posted some long video of him on Instagram kind of, you know, showing pictures of them together. There was, you know, their names in sands with hearts around it. And apparently this worked because now they're going out to dinner. So I'm going to set the line of them getting back together at minus 115.
Ooh, heavy. Well, not a heavy favorite, but a favorite that they get back together. I didn't know that there was trust issues. I'm guessing that was A-Rod's fault. From what
it was.
I saw,
apparently he was FaceTiming some girl who was a reality TV star, and it came out, and then they quickly split. recently after.
Yeah, because A-Rod seemed to be real, real emotional over the whole scene. He seemed to be the apologetic one. You have to wonder, did J-Lo see that Minnesota Timberwolves double up against the Utah Jazz and want to keep herself associated with a future winning type of team? Now, not for the money. J-Lo doesn't need the money, but it's just the gravitas that could come with being associated with a future winner like the Minnesota Timberwolves. Look, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do they get back together?
I mean, you don't go out to dinner if you're just talking about certain things behind the scenes. You don't just go out to dinner in public when you know everybody's going to take a picture unless you have the intentions of getting back together. Nobody does that.
Well, maybe. I mean, do they? Maybe they just wanted a nice meal, you know? Maybe the chefs were on
delay.
No, you
don't just get a nice meal with your ex, Kev.
Don't you? Sometimes you have to, like, go out in public, though, so that way nobody causes a scene. And that way you keep everything calm.
Maybe.
That could be something.
That's also a good point. But yeah, I also saw yesterday on a few outlets that Tristan Thompson caught again cheating on Khloe Kardashian. Nothing. I swear to God, I did.
That's
so just
wild.
Another that one to add. He has like a trophy of just every name that he's cheated with. All right, we'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Early Line. Heavy on the NFL draft tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern on Sports Grid and Sirius XM, Channel 204.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company's softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.